Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's January 4, 2013, and this is episode 355. It's great to be back after the longest break since starting this podcast back in 2005. Just 4 days off 2 months. For those of you that listened to me and stayed subscribed, thank you. For those of you that didn't, let's get back into iTunes and hit that subscribe button again. I've got some cool stuff on the way in the coming weeks. With still way too many photos selected from my recent South Georgia and Antarctica expeditions, I'm gonna need another week or so to whittle them down to a reasonable amount to upload and talk about the voyages. So this week, I figured I'd start 2013 with a top 10 list of my best nature photos from 2012. This is my selection, of course, and so it's quite a personal thing and may not include images that you like better. It also contains 6 new photos from my recent expeditions and no less than 4 penguin photos, so I hope you like penguins. Before we jump into that though, I'd like to mention that this episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high quality website, blog or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com and use the offer code MBP1. And they recently launched a developer platform for complete code control. More from Squarespace later, but for now, let's get into my top 10 selection. I've talked about the process of whittling down a selection of images in the past, so I won't go into too much detail today, but to give you some of the statistics, in 2012, I shot a total of just over 29,500 photos and video clips. From these, I selected just under 600 images to post to my website, stock site, and other social media networks. Around 450 of these were nature and wildlife photos, the core of my work, but the other 150 or so were images from photo walks, architecture, cityscapes, things like that, which are becoming a bigger part of my photography now, more than ever before. When I took a scan through my 2012 images to prepare for this podcast, I ended up with a short list of 60 images, which is about 10% of the final selection for the year. Picking favourites is the easy part. It then took me almost a full day to reduce the images down to just 10. I was originally thinking that I'd try to pick 10 favourites from the entire set, because the other work is, you know, my non-nature work is becoming more important to me, but it soon became obvious that I was going to have to select just from my nature work again. I might do another best 10 next week to talk a little bit more about that other work. For now, we'll look at my nature and wildlife selection. Even having made that decision though, getting rid of favourite images is agonising. Zach Arias quotes a friend as saying, "It's like lining up your children and deciding which ones you're going to shoot," and he's right. Once I decided to go with just nature work, I got down to about half the number pretty quickly, but then it took hours to decide on my final 10. It even took me an hour or so just to decide which of the 2 of the last 12 I had to shoot. I have mentioned before, though, that this is partly why I like to do this each year. It makes you look at your work with a very critical eye. A top 10 list is pretty final, and although I sometimes sneak in a few special mentions, 10 is 10, so the goal is very clear. The other good thing is that I've actually been back from Antarctica for 2.5 weeks now, and I was travelling doing a private tour for a client here in Japan. So I had a good buffer between my most recent work, which helps to remove the emotion of the shoot. Even though I've still ended up with more than half of this year's work from the last 2 months, but I truly believe that it's some of my best nature work for the year, so here we go. First up, here's a little fella that you might remember from my trip to Okinawa in August. This is a simple photo with a bullseye subject, but it has just stuck with me as a favourite for the year. I just like the warm, soft tones of the hermit crab and the matching sand, and how we had this little moment of eye contact before he scuttled off down the beach. I'm kind of ordering these in a slightly ordered, from least to most liked, so this guy will hopefully be happy to have stayed in here. If you're listening on an iPad or iPhone or iPod, remember, you can actually see the images as we are talking about them here if you look on your screen. But if not, then the best way to view them and the largest way that you'll be able to view them is to go to my blog at mbp.ac/355 for episode 355. And all of the images there are pretty big. Click on them and navigate through with your arrow keys or your mouse, and you can view the images as we discuss them. Next up is this magnificent Stella's Sea Eagle from last year's Hokkaido tour and workshop. A few people said that they thought it looked like I'd captured this guy flying high above the clouds, and once I'd heard that, I started to look at it the same way sometimes too. But it's actually just flying a foot or so above the sea ice in the channel between Hokkaido and the disputed Kuril Islands to the east. I reckon after the red-crowned crane, these incredible eagles are probably my favourite bird, and this year's only representative for the Japanese birds in the top 10, as it was hard to beat my crane shots from 2011. We jump now to South Georgia for a look at a battle-scarred and almost hungover-looking elephant seal beachmaster. These guys are around 5 metres long and weigh up to 3 to 4 tonnes. They can move pretty quickly though, and you don't want to get in their way. So although this might look like a fun shot, I was more than a little bit nervous as he reared up and started to bellow at me. They apparently rarely attack, and the baby elephant seals are absolutely adorable, but they are still pretty scary when you're relatively close to them, especially when you're between them and the sea on a downhill slope. Back to Okinawa now for a shot that we've looked at before, where I spent a little time figuring out the optimal shutter speed to show the water flowing just enough to show the entire wave crashing on the rocks before it followed through and the effect was lost. The shutter speed was exactly 1 second, and this has remained on my desktop as a background for most of the rest of the year since I shot it in August. This year has seen a number of firsts, not just in my first visit to Okinawa, but also the first time for a long time that I've really spent any quality time in warmer climes. You know what, that I like to specialise in shooting in cold places, and I still prefer to be able to rug up and stay warm rather than trying to peel my skin off in hot places. But I had a great time, and I can see it happening more in the future. Back to my element now though, with this photo of some monumental icebergs in Sierva Cove, Antarctica. These are basically huge slabs of ice shelf that have broken away and become seaborne. Apart from the almost perfectly spherical hole in the back berg, there isn't much special about these slabs other than their sheer size. I have lots of other iceberg shots, as you can probably imagine, but I love the way the clouds and even the sea appear to be flowing from or even towards the main berg here, as though its mass is giving it its own gravity or something, like a black hole. And at that halfway point, I'd like to mention again that this episode is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. Squarespace has developed new templates with mobile-ready responsive designs, which means that your site automatically restructures to look great on any brand of smartphone, tablet, or computer. When you add an image to your site, 7 different versions are created so that the correct size loads for that device, any device. so your site looks professionally designed no matter how it's viewed. Squarespace has beautiful templates with 100% drag and drop functionality for all customization tools. There's a new page builder called the Layout Engine that enables you to customize pages in seconds by adding blocks of content such as photos, videos, text, social media content, and immediately preview the layout as you go. This makes it even easier for anyone to build a site. Squarespace gives you better social media integration, automatically import, sync, and publish to any and from any social media with just a few clicks, dynamically refreshing your site content and raising awareness in your social circles. For example, you can automatically pull photos from Instagram into your site, instantly sync pages and galleries to Facebook, and auto-publish new blog entries on Twitter. There are social media buttons to connect with all the services that you love through Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Instagram, Foursquare, Dropbox, LinkedIn, Pinterest, StumbleUpon, and more. Squarespace has an award-winning design team and user experience experts. They created a whole new set of sophisticated design templates. They reflect modern web style while using highly intuitive navigation. Each template also has hundreds of customization options available to change grid layout, colors, over 300 fonts, and more. Squarespace integrates all your website needs, domains, design, development, hosting, and customer support. It's a unified service, making it faster and easier than ever to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. For a free trial, and you should try this because literally I've been blown away as I've tried this out myself. Go to squarespace.com, sign up for a free account, no credit card is needed, just try it out and start building your website. Then if you decide to purchase it, use the offer code MBP1 and get 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. And that includes monthly and annual plans. So that's squarespace.com and use the offer code MBP1. Everything you need to create an exceptional website is right there. Okay, so back to my top 10 now. A month before the last Antarctica photo, I was in South Georgia for the first time, and I had a wonderful time shooting the incredible wildlife there. But without a doubt, one of my favorites was the king penguins. I got a lot of portraits and studies of four different types of penguins over this last 2 months, and although I ended up removing my second favorite, the chinstrap portrait, from this top 10, we'll see another king penguin shot in second place as well. I just love these big penguins and that beautiful splash of golden orange around their necks. Here I just put my trusty 300mm f2.8 lens on and frame this shot with the aperture wide open, looking for a composition that just showed these guys all hanging out, preening and going around their daily business. I have another shot that I love after this, where it started to snow, and you know how much I love snow. But in this shot, I just really like the way that one guy is just standing there, just off center to the right, and he almost looks like a Japanese businessman in a crowd, maybe waiting for a train to arrive, and the guy in front is practicing his golf swing or something. It's just, you know, something about the atmosphere in this image and just kept it in my top 10 for me. The Adelie penguins are pretty cute too, though, and these three on top of a small iceberg kept us amused for 5 minutes or so as we circled the berg in our Zodiac, shooting them from many different angles. Here, they almost look like the first three frames of a multiple exposure of a single bird about to dive into the water. Again, a relatively simple shot, but I like the contrast between the foreground snow, the black and white of the penguins, and then the blue-grey sky in the background. This is one that I'm really looking forward to printing and holding in my hand before too very long. Three more penguins here again, but this time they're gentoos. Again, I've got some lovely studies of these guys, especially a wide open aperture shot of a Gentoo that came right up to me, all curious as to what I might be doing on his rock at 10:30 at night. They are certainly images that we'll be looking at soon, but for my top 10, I'm trying to include something with a bit more of a twist, such as these three in almost perfect synchronization. They were just hurrying along a penguin path coming towards me, but they just look so comical here, almost like three, you know, when dancers or performers hide behind each other and then they sort of rotate out and around to form a bit of an optical illusion. It reminds me of that. And here's that second place shot of the king penguin pair that I mentioned earlier. The stream in the background was catching the light to give me those perfect little beads of bokeh, even with an aperture of f9, because I was shooting with the 300mm f2.8 lens and the 1.4x extender here, so 420mm focal length, which of course gives you a very shallow depth of field when focusing on something close. I just love the tender moment that these guys were sharing, though, as the male reaches over from behind the female and draws her head into his chest with his beak. They actually mated straight after this, which I also photographed, but I was starting to feel a little bit voyeuristic after this display, so I decided to go with the tender moment instead. And of course, I believe that this is a better photo too. And finally, in first place of my 2012 top 10 nature shots is this image of the five snow monkeys from February 2012. This has remained my favourite image through the entire year. The texture in the fur, the authoritative stare of the guy to the right, the shy, almost timid looking monkey to the far right, and the totally disengaged monkey on the left just fascinate me. Of course, the baby monkey being shielded from the cold by the two centre monkeys is the main story here, although they're actually in reality just probably warming themselves up with the young one in the middle there as much as they are protecting him. The way he looks out from his little hiding place, though, all safe and warm, but with a little bit of apprehension, is what really makes this for me. So that's it. That's my 2012 top 10 nature shots. I've enjoyed the process of deciding on what to include and learned a few things about my work at the same time, as I do every year as I do this. One thing that I haven't touched on yet is that although I consider both wildlife and landscape shots to be my nature work, I find almost without doubt that however spectacular the landscape, it was very difficult for me to keep many of the landscapes in the selection. This tells me that although I enjoy the landscapes, I'm certainly gravitating towards the wildlife more, at least in the way I appreciate the work. And I really do enjoy showing animals in their environment. If possible, doing something special or showing some sort of characteristic as well. I still love the simple composition and will go for a plain white or monotone background over a cluttered one anytime. I didn't really realize that I was gravitating towards the wildlife so much though until I tried to remove these images. Or maybe it's just that things with eyes are more difficult to distance yourself from. If you have time, I really recommend doing your own top 10 set of images too. And if you do so, please do post a link in the comments on the blog post for this episode at mbp.ac/355. I'd love to see what you came up with too, and let us know what you learned from the experience as well. We'll probably be able to have the same conversation in the comments over on Google+, if that's where you'd prefer to work as well. I'm spending a lot of time on Google+ at the moment, not a lot of time, but out of my little slice of social media time, I'm on Google+ the most. So check me out over there as well, and we can carry on the conversation there. I will probably do that top 10 of images from my general work, just to do the exercise and to share that work with you too. But this is certainly, you know, the nature work is what I consider to be my most representational work from the last year. And I hope you enjoyed walking through it with me. We have just a couple of bits of housekeeping before we finished. Firstly, today we had a cancellation for the Snow Monkey and Hokkaido tour and workshop from February 18th to March 1st, 2013. And this is the one that we're honoured to be joined by my friend David Duchemin, the best-selling author and creator of Craft and Vision. It's a great way to experience the snow monkeys, the red-crowned cranes, the majestic sea eagles and swans, and other wildlife and landscape of the Japanese winter. It's also a great cultural experience, not to mention that you'll learn a lot about shooting wildlife and working in winter conditions, as well as spending time with David and I in the winter wonderland. Details can be found on my tour and workshops website at mbpworkshops.com, or drop me a line on workshops@martinbaileyphotography.com if you have any questions. Also, a quick word on the podcast schedule for the next few months. I intend to release at least 4 episodes in January, and maybe even more if I can make the time, as I really want to make up for the very light release schedule since I started all of my travelling in September last year. Of course, I'll be away for 2 weeks at a time for the 2 Hokkaido tours in February, but I'm going to try my best to release 2 episodes in the 9 days that I have at home between the 2 tours. Then in March and April, I'll be releasing at least 1 episode per week, if not more, as time allows. So please do keep that subscription live, as I've no intention of stopping doing this podcast. If ever I decided to stop, I'll go out with a bang, not just fizzle out, so you'll know about it. Thanks very much for listening today, and remember that you can find me on Google+ and Twitter, etc., and links to everything that I'm up to are on the top page at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.